Saturday night. So. Or Sunday. When we celebrate
Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday is Hanukkah. So whatever little time we have this week in the mornings, I want to talk about Hanukkah. You need to send out the Hanukkah memo. I listened to the History Channel for most of yesterday because it was mostly about the archaeological evidence of the Bible and the ministry of Christ. And they have these guys on there that are scholars that says that there's no evidence that Christ had the established communion. It was established many years later. I mean, it's like, and they all agree that Christmas had to be earlier in the year, but because the shepherds didn't watch their flocks up at that level, they took them down to lower levels during the winter months. But the one thing is that they said there's no evidence in the scripture where anybody ever celebrated the birth of Christ. And I just about threw my shoe through the television again. Because not only was the birth of Christ celebrated, but the conception of Christ had been celebrated. The conception of Christ had been celebrated since 165, 168, about that, before Christ, B.C. The birth of Christ had been celebrated since the giving of the law in Leviticus. And it's just cut off from the scholarship of Christianity. What,
they couldn't find a major? Is that their evidence or something?
They think they found it. No, they found the major, but no, they said there was no evidence for the celebration of the birth of Christ.
Well, they don't know about Rosh Hashanah.
And so.
And then, one point, last night I was listening to the History Channel, and they were saying that there was evidence as to say that that his birth was not the Immaculate Conception, whatever, or something like that. And on the
deal. Mary was raped by a Roman soldier. I mean, it just goes on and on. Never, and it's no wonder that people don't have any faith except in experience, because the remember the word blasphemy in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But blasphemy is a legal word, and it's a legal violation. It means to deny the foundation. And the foundation for Christianity, the foundation for its very existence, was the Old Testament. And to say there's no evidence that the early Christians ever celebrated the birth of Christ is just the abominable ignorance of the feasts and their meaning and his fulfillment of those feasts. They said the feasts, no, the Christians didn't celebrate the feasts. Well, that's just crazy. When Paul said, I must by every and all means get back for the Feast of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, some 30 or 40 years after Christ, and all of them, you know, all of the stuff we found with Melito of Sardi and other ancient documents indicates that all of the believers celebrated for the first, at least the first 150 years of the church.
So do they think this stuff is just made up or something?
Well, it's like there's a hole in their thinking. I mean,
is it a funding problem, like?
No, it's not a funding problem. It's a spiritual problem.
I mean, they're funded by a secular group, and so they're kind of taking the findings to support.
One of the commentators, though, was one of the members of the Jesus Seminar, which is another joke. What is so sad to me is that it permits Christianity to become this thing that Benny Hinn his ilk have made it into. It's just a model of experiential excitement about, because crowd gatherings and a how-to seminar, how to get be successful, how to get stuff. And I got so sad, tears came to my eyes. It was. It's almost, I mean, the more I study it, the more it's assured that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. I remember when we started looking at these feast things over the years, many, many years ago, the first one we looked at was Passover. And that one was kind of, people accepted that with a few exceptions. And then people accepted Pentecost, but only the limited view of Pentecost, in that that was when the Holy Spirit was shed on the church. That was the first day of the church. Right? Not that it was universal. Do you understand what has happened? Instead of seeing this mystery of Christ as universal, as a universal truth, as something as more sure than the stars in the sky, it has become this pick and choose kind of spirituality that has no scholarship, it has no foundation except the experience, or the experiential phenomena that occur in the charismatic movement, or the kind of cultural thing, because we grew up in a Judeo-Christian ethos where, people go to church. Christmas, everybody goes to church, and Easter, everybody goes to church. But there's always a separation between spirit, the spiritual, and the secular. And it makes everything about this mystery into which we've been delivered optional. And it makes me crazy. You ever understand what I'm talking about? Was that a hum that you're getting ready to speak?
No, but it makes me think of the title of that book, The Normal Christian Life.
Yeah. The effort, the essence of the feast of Hanukkah, especially the eighth day, is that I don't have what it takes. I can't do this. This doesn't work for me. That's the mystery of godliness is that on this feast of the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, Christ, God, entered human flesh by His Holy Spirit and conceived the mystery. And that conception was the setting off of the Magi from how many thousand miles? Huge distance. That's when they were able to see the supernova in the Virgin in Virgo, or in the coma, right? And that's what set them on their trek. It would be like all of the bishops or the cardinals, whoever the highest, the cardinals in Rome, setting off by foot halfway across the known world to celebrate a birth. I mean, the Magi were the spiritual and much more so leaders of Babylon, that whole area. And they recognized, they saw something that caused this incredible journey to begin to take place. And then Mary, what did Mary? The first thing Mary did was go to her cousin, because her cousin had experienced a miraculous thing, because John the Baptist was birthed in her without intercourse, so was or at least, and we don't know whether it was other intercourse, but we know that both her husband and Elizabeth were both barren, both well in age, and so she hid herself until she, the pregnancy was seen, or probably until the actual betrothal ceremony, something happened, some reason that she hid herself for those 3 months. We're not too sure why. But the idea that Mary was probably, at least the scholarship that I trust, said that she was more than likely an orphan, raised by relatives. She was unbelievably poor. She probably wasn't that good looking. She probably wasn't that smart. She was of the low estate. By her own mouth, she was extremely low estate, and it wasn't false humility. Not only that, Israel was the least of all of the kingdoms in the Roman Empire. It was the worst assignment that any of their centurions or soldiers could get, was to be sent to this God-forsaken land of Israel. So it's not just that Mary was poor and the least of the least. The whole country was the least of the least. How did we turn that into Christians are champions? and breaking ice cubes for the Lord, whatever the hell. I don't think I have what it takes. I can't do that.
That statement triggered a thought that on Hanukkah, you have what it takes for about one day. And the other 7 days, you're out of it. That's where the waiting.
I don't think you have what it takes for one day to celebrate it properly.
Yeah, you get one day of oil.
Yeah.
And then you run out. And then there's that long waiting period where it doesn't look like God's ever going to do anything.
Hanukkah isn't going to happen. It's just like Pentecost isn't going to happen. Passover isn't going to happen. We revel and celebrate what has already taken place. The only way that you can celebrate Hanukkah and understand it, and by definition, excuse this, but that has to be the seminal experience from which you become and understand Christianity, you cannot apprehend that experience until you admit to God and yourself and others, I don't have what it takes. And the problem that many people have is they live in this mistaken idea that they do have what it takes, and so they make wild and wonderful plans, and then nothing ever happens, and so you have to keep celebrating or trying to apprehend Hanukkah before you can understand the birth of Christ, unless you think of him as something afar off and some kind of historical activity. But in order for the feast of Hanukkah to be manifested and totally apprehended in you, that it might apprehend you, you must be at this state of I do not have what it takes. Listen to what Mary, this is a targum of what Mary said. Pardon me, Mr. Gabriel, sir. I hope this doesn't sound irreverent and doesn't make me sound ignorant for asking, but what is going on? How in the world can these things be? Especially, sir, since I have never been with a man. Exactly, tell me. With great specificity now, tell me, how am I going to have this baby? Conversely, tell me, how am I going to live this life? I don't have what it takes to succeed. I don't want to have what it takes even to meet my own standards.
How can I live this life in Christ without Christ being in me? What are you concerned with? What are you, I mean, is there something you think you're still trying to do? Is there something you think you still are going to put forth effort? In a real sense, the whole idea of Hanukkah is to destroy forever your effort. Can you hear that? And if you can destroy your effort, you then can destroy your attempt at righteousness. My little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's what Paul said to the people that were listening to him. I wanted to say that 1,000,000 times. Let's go to Luke 1. Well, we'll study the first part of Luke 1 when John the Baptist was conceived, but let's go to verse 26. And in the sixth month, what does that mean, the sixth month?
Sixth month of the gestation
of Elizabeth.
John.
Right. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. You remember Mary, the word Mary means bitter, Mara? And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Doesn't it sound like what happened to Gabriel? When he was hiding in... It was the sign of the wheat, huh? Not Gabriel, I mean the Gideon, excuse me. It didn't happen to Gabriel. Gideon was at the time of the wheat, or the harvest season, and he was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites... He was the least of all of the family, and the least of the... Doesn't it sound like David? And then the Spirit of God said to them, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, it doesn't say him there, but when she saw, when she understood what he was saying, she was troubled at his saying. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now why did she find favor with God? Was it because her mother was a virgin also, and she, you know, the horse hockey that's taught? No, she found favor with God because of her poverty, because of her weakness, because of her isolation. We got to make her an idol. So we apply all these other things on top of her. Put a little halo around her head, even in drawings.
She was all the things that we all try to avoid getting her. We don't want to be in that place.
That's right.
We want to give her a
bow. Well, we are all in that place, but we won't admit it.
We can convert her by making her an icon into something very precious.
So this can be separate from us. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The word handmaid is bond servant, who has no will but his. Bond servant. Can you get that in your head? And it was only when she agreed and we was able to say, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Can you say that now at the expense of everything else? Be it unto me according to thy word. The moment he said that, his mission was done. And when she said that, his mission was done, and he departed from her sight. Then that which was inevitable in the economy of God took place in the set time of the Lord on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Light. Light had now entered into darkness. And what makes manifest is light. She didn't do anything. There was nothing she could do to speed it up. There's a lot she could do. So she could have an abortion. But even that, she was protected by the Holy Ghost. And 9 months later, on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, he to whom and by whom and of whom everything in the universe consists was tabernacled in her flesh. He then grew and found favor in the sight of God and man. And he didn't go visit Buddha in his silent years. He didn't go visit India to learn the ages of the wisdom. The wisdom of the ages. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And he was crucified. And he suffered unbelievably. And he died and was buried. And he rose again. And then on that unspeakable, glorious day of the Feast of Pentecost, that sperma of God was shed on all flesh, so that you too can now apprehend and be of the same position that Mary was. But you must see and must be tired of your own effort. In fact, you must see your own effort as dung itself. And this mystery will be manifested in you. The fullness of Christ without any effort. This point forward. From the standpoint of Mary saying, Behold, the handmaiden, the bondservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. From that point forward, even unto today, it hasn't been by might or power, but it's been by his Spirit, saith the Lord. It hasn't been by effort or trying. It hasn't been by anything other than the efficacy of the Holy Spirit in causing that sperma of God in Mary and in you to fill the temple until there is no room for man to be in the temple. but his humility is so total. Even as he was born in the cave, in the manger, in the terrible place, the animals, because there was no room at the inn, he can't be born, he can't be fully apprehended in you until there's no room in the inn, until there's no room for humanity in you. Because you've seen the end of it all. This time, let us celebrate this incredible, unbelievable, historical and spiritual experience with joy. Amen?
Oh, boy.
Any response?
I was thinking about these guys that I'm reading some reports from Africa and places where people are deep in Muslim country that don't know no missionaries or anything. And God will appear to, just like Mary, somebody in a dream, they'll get some, they'll say, here's what's happening, here's the reality, and then, and they don't even know what it means, and then they run into some other thing that confirms that, and they eventually could say, it started over here, and then I finally found out what this dream was talking about, and it all happened. That's talking about the universality of it. It's like even in the circumstances where you think, this couldn't happen, it happens. And that's the proof of the fact that it's universal. It's shed abroad in all men. It's there
and
waiting to merge with it.
The visions or the dreams about Christ are happening all over the world without any effort in anybody else's part. Especially many of them are Muslim.
Yeah.
When you say let's celebrate, just that one word, celebrate, stuck with this.
Yeah.
That's everything revolving.
Remember, when you say with Mary, I am a bondslave, let it be unto me according to thy word. At the expense of everything else. So sick. This Americanization of Christianity, it just makes me ill. Be those that have a form of godliness but deny his power. You have to live by your own strength, and even when you mess up, he'll help you. That's a childish thing.
Or when he messes up, I'll help him.
That was truly a Wadeism.
Wade gives a special spin.
Is that dark?
Okay, so Jesus was not born on December the 25th.
No, there's absolutely no doubt. He was, but it doesn't matter from that standpoint. No.
Mithra was born.
Saturnalia.
Mothra.
It's not worth commenting. I talked about Mithra.
Mothra.
He says Mothra.
What are you talking about?
You were out of the country during that time. There was a horror movie called Mothra that came out of the 50s.
How does he know about a horror movie that came out in the 50s?
Because they said about cultural heritage.
Everybody in the room knows about it.
Do you know about it?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of it. I mean, I've probably seen it a two, three dozen times.
Jim, you know about it?
Come on, Jim, help me out here.
There was one where Roseanne and Walker were all in the same movie.
Yeah, like a Alex, maybe.
Yeah, now that's a possibility.
He's only 20. Yeah, he probably
didn't
know
anything about it. Please take it quickly.